Thank you, Ms. Mac. I appreciate it. She didn't start playing the violin yesterday, huh? You can figure that one out. Amen. That's not easy. Mercy. Wonderful. 1998 in Canada. Brother Mac and I met on a trip with Brother Vineyard on a fishing trip. And we became acquainted there. And we learned about his work in Ivory Coast. At that time, he wasn't too far, of course, from Tom Vineyard and in Ivory Coast. And I told him, I said, next time you're home on furlough, give me a call. So 2005, he did. And he came, and we've been supporting them ever since. And it is a tremendous ministry. If you've not been privileged to see or meet this family before, you're in for a real treat tonight. And he'll tell us about that, show video, and preach. We'll enjoy this time. Brother Mac, thanks for coming. Appreciate your work, brother. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Again, very happy to come back to Faith Baptist Church and to report to you. So in these next few minutes, let's recognize that this is a time of celebration. Because although you have not been out there in the Ivory Coast working with us, you have been actively involved in the ministry there. And your part has been fulfilled, and it's our opportunity to come this evening and show you now how the Lord has blessed what you've done there in the Ivory Coast, how He has answered your prayers, how He has multiplied what you have given so that souls would be saved there in the Ivory Coast and churches would be planted. We'll get into the presentation in a moment, but you'll see, when we first went out to the Ivory Coast, as Pastor mentioned, we worked with Tom Vineyard in the Church of Anyama, and we don't have that in this presentation, but it's such a joy to tell you that that church is flourishing today. It is an outstanding local church, pastored by one of the men that we trained during that time. It is a church with an active deaf ministry, a church that has started a new church on the south side of its town and on the east side of its town. It has an active missions program, having sent out two missionaries and supporting an additional six missionaries. And so the Lord is greatly blessing that particular work where we were involved with Tom Vineyard. But in the year 2000, the Lord directed us to the city of Bajorville. And there we again planted a new church and began working with that church. And as the Lord blessed, we were able to start specific ministries out of that church to reach specific people groups. For instance, we didn't have any Muslims that were visiting our church in the first 2 years that we started it. We didn't have any strong animists from the villages coming to visit our church. And our school is a school town. Many students come and stay in dorms to go to junior high and high school in our town, and we weren't reaching them either. And so we were able to start strategic ministries to reach those specific people groups. Illiteracy in the Ivory Coast is found in the immigrant Muslim population. So in opening a literacy center, we were able to begin to reach into that Muslim community, and in teaching them to read and write, of course, we were able to consistently give them the gospel over a 3 to 4 year period of time. The villages are always in need of medical help. And so when going in with medicine and working in those villages in medicine, that opened the door for us to be able to send in teams from the Bajorville Church to begin to evangelize and establish works in those villages. Most youth love sports, and the schools in the Ivory Coast do not have sports programs. And so we opened a basketball center through the Basketball Federation of the Ivory Coast to reach the young people in our area. And again, all these things are done strategically for evangelizing those who are coming. All of our basketball players must work their way through the Source of Light Bible study materials, where they learn about the Bible and salvation and the Christian life. As our literacy students begin to learn and read and write, all of our testing and all their homework is reading Bible passages, reading questions concerning those passages, and then writing out those answers for those questions. Even in our medical ministry and what we're doing in the villages, all of it is for evangelism and church planting. And so the Lord has blessed that work in Bajorville. In 2009, we opened up the work in the far north of the country in a village called Zanapledugu. After preaching for two nights in a funeral there, the Lord blessed with 60 converts and an animist Muslim chief who explained to me that there was no church in that village. Therefore, it was necessary for me to send a missionary there to work with these 60 converts. They gave us a piece of land and asked us to put a church building on it for those 60 converts up there in the village of Zanapley, and God has greatly blessed that work. In our last term, we've opened up a third church in the city of Mont in the far west of the country. And the Lord is blessing that as well. Pastor Goué is working with that work under the authority and the direction of the Bajorville Church. And again, that is fruit that is all abounding to your account. So as we speak of these things, recognize that what I am sharing with you tonight is the ministry of the Faith Baptist Church in the Ivory Coast. You have had a part in this. You are not viewing somebody else's ministry this evening. You are viewing your ministry this evening. Because, as Pastor mentioned, since 2005, you have been actively involved through your prayers and your faith promise giving to help us out there. And it is a thrill to come back and allow you to see what's taking place there, knowing that you are involved and that this is your missions program. So with that, we'll get into the presentation. Côte d'Ivoire is a beautiful country full of growth and opportunity. It's also a country filled with need, corruption, and brokenness. Our family first came here to the Ivory Coast nearly 25 years ago. We had our first church service with Evangelville Church on Sunday morning, June 18, 2000. The church met in the downstairs section of our home. In the first 2 years, the church grew to about 100 people. The adults met for an abbreviated Sunday school session, and in the church service in that downstairs room. The children met under a tent on our backyard basketball court. In August of 2002, the church moved to its present site. The initiation of the war necessitated that the church leave the Mac home and move to its newly acquired property. A small temporary building was erected with an outside baptistry. In 2004, our Sunday school program was initiated. In 2007, the church voted in its first constitution. Membership was established with the missions program inaugurated. Construction began on the Bible Seminary building. With time, construction began as well with the permanent church building. By the end of 2014, the church had attained its present building situation on the land. Since its beginning, the Fundamental Baptist Church has established its ministries of evangelism, missions, youth, literacy, village evangelism, and sports. As well, it has established five committees to help with the management of church affairs. Since 2012, the church has had a group of deacons, which is currently at five. This is in addition to its normal Sunday school, church service, and choir activities. The Fundamental Baptist Bible Seminary of Bangerville is an undergraduate and graduate school established for the training of national pastors and missionaries. The undergraduate program is the Fundamental Baptist Bible Institute. It has three programs, the pastoral program, the missionary program, and the general Bible program. The first two are four-year BA programs, while the third is a simple three-year diploma. The graduate program is conducted within the seminary, which intends to establish a program through a Doctor of Ministry degree. This graduate program will include a Master of Arts, Master of Divinity, and a Doctor of Ministry. This school is an early development stage, but intends to develop into a full undergraduate and graduate school operating according to the norms of such schools. It has already expanded to the point of providing yearly pastoral conferences for those already in full-time ministry. The Medical Village Ministry began in November of 2004 with the opening of our first clinic. This was opened in an effort to evangelize the surrounding villages of Bangerville. This clinic operated from 2004 to 2010. During this time, many medical days were accomplished in the villages in addition to the care offered at the clinic. This effectively opened the door to ministry in these villages. Christine McLaughlin came in 2009 and has maintained the medical care given in these villages even after the closing of the clinic. Teams from the Bangerville Church are organized to go to the villages on Saturday and Sunday for evangelism and church service purposes. Many come from the villages on Sunday to participate in the Bangerville Church services. This ministry has effectively reached into areas of strong animism to give the gospel of Christ. The Alpha Baptist Literacy Center began in the fall of 2000 as a church ministry to evangelize principally Muslims as well as other illiterate individuals. As well, this ministry has allowed our illiterate converts to learn to read and write so they can spiritually feed themselves from the Scriptures. The Alpha Baptist Literacy Center has grown continually to a size of over 200 students, ranging from ages 12 to 65. Our graduates have a 93% success rate in passing the National Literacy Test the first time. The national curriculum is used to teach, but Bible studies are used for homework and testing purposes. As well, there is an active evangelism program that goes throughout each school year. There have been many who have accepted Christ and joined our church. This education center has expanded to take those who have passed literacy to a 10th grade level. These night classes allow those who work during the day to continue in training to take the National BPSA National Test, which establishes a 10th grade knowledge. There are about 100 students in this program. The Emmanuel Basketball Center of Bangerville began in 2007. This center is comprised of five teams in the following age divisions: 10 and 11 years old, 12 and 13 years old, 14 to 15 years old, 16 to 17 years old, and 18 to 19 years old. The center participates in the basketball season and tournament run by the Basketball Federation of the Ivory Coast. The Emmanuel Baptist Basketball Center requires its players to complete the Source of Light Bible Study Series, which gives them the gospel and teaches them concerning the Bible and the Christian life. The center has effectively taken youth from many of the temptations of life and directed their energies in the sport of basketball and the study of the Bible. Two of our teams have won national championships. Several of our players have represented the Ivory Coast on their national teams at varying age brackets. Many of our players have come to a saving knowledge of Christ. BIMI was first established in the Ivory Coast in 1973. Its paperwork was then renewed in 2001. BIMI continued from 1973 to 2014 as nothing more than a name to allow American missionaries to achieve resident status. In 2013, the project was initiated to update our paperwork to render it correct in relation to the developing bureaucracy of the Ivorian Ministry of Interior. This paperwork set up the proper statutes and bylaws for such an organization, allowing for more cohesion amongst missionaries, more ministry opportunities for missionaries, and the legal cover of its Ivorian pastors and churches. This paperwork was approved by the Ministry of the Interior in April of 2014. BIMI now functions correctly as an approved Christian organization. I am its president. In this capacity, I am responsible for its yearly general assemblies, its legal documentation for land acquisitions, and the legal settling of its disputes. The Fundamental Baptist Church of Mont began in November of 2016. Pastor Jean Gouet had a group of converts and was looking for help from fundamental sources to start a church in this city. Pastor Gouet now leads this work under the authority and supervision of the Fundamental Baptist Church of Bangerville. They have several baptized believers. They have recently acquired property and will soon begin the development of that property. Funeral services in the village of Zanapledugu. 60 converts were reached in this village in March of 2008. These converts were edified by delegations sent from the Bangerville Church throughout the rest of 2008. In 2009, the Fundamental Baptist Church of Zanapledugu had its first church service. Groundbreaking for its church building took place in 2009. This work has been led by Sapane Kudibali. He is from this village and speaks this language. This is a very simple local church in a simple village context. Its members meet to rejoice together in their worship of God and to learn from His Word. Sapane Kulivali is a member of the Fundamental Baptist Church of Bangerville and is sent by that church to Zanapledugu to develop this church. He does so under the authority and supervision of the Fundamental Baptist Church of Bangerville.
When we return to Bangerville for our sixth term, we will be finishing construction on our permanent building, on our seminary building, and on the parsonage. We'll also be selecting the future pastor and assistant pastor. At this time, the church will be declared autonomous. God has worked mightily in these 25 years here in Côte d'Ivoire. We have seen how He opens the eyes of the blind, binds up the brokenhearted, and provides in our need. We've seen His hand at work time and time again in the lives of the people we've met here. How can you be a part of this with us? We are asking you to pray for these ministries as they continue to grow, as they continue to reach lost souls, and as they shape lives in our community here in Côte d'Ivoire.
I trust that that gives you some idea, some insight as to the ministry there in the Ivory Coast. And again, we are so thankful for your prayers and your support. Our trust is that when we come back on our next furlough, we'll be able to speak with you of the successful transition at the Bangerville Church, that it now be autonomous, operated under the man that we're training for that position. And as well, we hope to show you much by way of the Bible Institute in the seminary, as we feel that will really be the thrust of our future ministry there in the Ivory Coast, the training of men for the ministry so that they can be sent out of their churches to start more churches. And so, thanks so much again, Faith Baptist Church. I trust that you have joy, that you're happy in recognizing what your missions program is accomplishing around the world. This evening, let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And consider a portion of Scripture here written by the Apostle Paul, the second inspired letter that he sent to this church. And the context really is somewhat negative. If you can possibly believe it, there were members of the Corinthian church that questions whether or not Paul was actually a God-sent apostle. Utterly ridiculous in our perspective today. We see what the Apostle Paul has done. We see how he inspired so many books of the New Testament. We see how the book of Acts, at least the second part of it, is so centralized on his ministry. We see the power that the Holy Spirit evidenced in this man. We see what he accomplished. But yes, there were people in this church that questioned whether or not Paul was actually an apostle according to the will of God. And so we had to correct this. And we understand the apostolic ministry at this point in time. We do not have apostles today, contrary to what some might think. That is a completed role. It was a transitionary role. But Paul was absolutely one of them. And this church was in error in refusing to accept the fact that he was an apostle. And Paul had to correct it because one of the implications of this circumstance was that there was error slipping into the church. And Paul needed to correct that error. He needed to set them straight doctrinally. And as he was doing that, these people were saying, well, Paul can say what he wants to, but again, he's really not an apostle. He thinks he's an apostle, but actually, he's really not an apostle. And so Paul begins to address this again in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 because he wants to get this settled before he gets there. He's planning a visit. He doesn't want it to be an ugly visit. And so he's hoping that in what he says in this letter, he can get this thing settled. In verse 1, we read, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you." So that Paul has to speak clearly and directly here. He understands that his authority and the grace to exercise his authority comes from Christ. And Paul was obligated to speak boldly and directly to address this problem, and he had to do so without having the advantage of being in front of them. Because when you're discussing something face-to-face with someone, you can have an idea of what their viewpoint is and why they're saying what they're saying, and you can hone in on that. But in writing this letter, Paul does not have that opportunity, and so he pretty much has to deliver a comprehensive argument for his apostleship. Verse 2, "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." Now again, understanding the context, this was not an accusation of carnality. It's not that these people were saying that Paul was being immoral in this expression of walking according to the flesh. Again, they were simply saying, well, Paul thinks he's an apostle, but he's just an apostle in his own flesh. He's just an apostle in his own effort. He's an apostle because he thinks he is. He's not an apostle because God has actually called him to that ministry. And so we continue in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." And Paul begins to get to the crux of his argument here. But he recognizes that he is only a human being, yet he is a chosen instrument of God. And he's saying to them, "You remain unconvinced seeing me as a person, but if you were to walk with me and see what my work requires me to do, then you would be convinced that I am a God-called apostle." Let's skip down to verse 6. "And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So Paul was prepared to punish all disobedience, including the denial of his God-given authority. And he's hoping that these people will repent and that they will become obedient before he gets there, so he does not have to deal with this when he does get there. But in the midst of these verses, we have some very, very interesting information in verses 4 and 5. And we're going to see how these verses apply to this particular context, but we're also going to see how these verses apply to many other areas in our life as well. We read in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we recognize this. Spiritual battle today is not a battle of guns or knives or any type of warfare of that nature. It is spiritual. In that sense, it is unseen with a physical eye. And Paul makes that clear, but he continues when he says, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, what are these strongholds? To what is Paul making reference here? Now, we can read some quote-unquote Christian novels, and perhaps in reading those novels, it might leave us with the idea that these strongholds are these mighty fortresses of demons that hover over cities and have a negative spiritual effect on those cities. I was told this one time by somebody in the Ivory Coast, by way of the villages. Don't bother with medical work. That won't do anything for you. You simply send a prophet into those villages that tears down these fortress of demons over the village. And in so doing, that will render the village capable of being evangelized. I said to him, well, whether or not there's a fortress over that village full of demons, I can't say specifically, and neither can you. But what I can tell you is I have absolutely no instruction in the epistles to do anything by way of any fortresses of demons anywhere in this world. That's in God's hands. My responsibility is simply do what it takes to get the gospel to those people. And this is what we're finding in the world today is we have some amazingly poor definitions and descriptions of what these strongholds are mentioned in verse 4. What they are becomes more clear when we look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations. Where are your imaginations? They're in your mind. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Where do you maintain your knowledge of God? Look at the last expression. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And again, where is your thought life? Where is your thinking? What Paul is saying here is these strongholds are actually things that are constructed in the mind of man. Now, in the context of this passage, the reason why Paul is saying this is because there were these members of the Corinthian church that had bricked up, that had constructed this stronghold in their mind against Paul's apostleship. And you can understand how that would have gone. You know, the apostle Paul was not one of the original 12 selected by Christ. There's one brick. And he did not walk with Christ for those 3.5 years that Christ did his ministry here. So there's another brick. And, you know, the Apostle Paul, when we look at him, I mean, he really is one weepy-looking individual, you know. Because Paul makes reference of his appearance in other scriptures, you know. So there's another brick going on there. And these members had bricked up a stronghold, a reasoning, a rationality, a certain logic against the apostleship of the Apostle Paul. And what he was saying is these people had to tear those things down in their mind, or somebody had to tear them down for them to bring them back to the correct understanding that Paul was, in fact, an apostle sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the question this evening that we consider is, do we do this today? Do we construct strongholds of thinking in our minds today? You know, if you're faithful to give the gospels to others, but maybe you've a little bit of French there. Maybe you've had this circumstance happen to you. You sit down with the scriptures and you explain to somebody their sinful condition. We are all born with a sin nature. Adam sinned, and we all sinned in him, and we have a sin nature, and we all choose to sin, and because of that sin, we are condemned. But God did not want to leave us in that condemnation. He looked upon us, and in grace and in mercy, He sent the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered in our place on the cross and who carried our sin upon Himself. And because of what Jesus Christ did, we can now come to Him in repentance and faith and ask to be saved, ask to have forgiveness of our sins, ask to have eternal life. And when we do, we have that promise that we are. And you give that message to that person, and they look at you so politely and smile while you are speaking. And once you have concluded, they look at you and they say, "Well, that's very nice. I appreciate your sharing that with me. But I think..." What are you going to get right now? You're going to get the stronghold that that person has constructed in their mind against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How might that manifest itself? "Well, I got to be honest with you, but I just simply do not understand how such a loving God could allow this type of thing to happen on the earth. When we look around the earth and we see all these bad things happening, I just simply cannot believe that there's a loving God out there that would do that." What is that for them? That's a stronghold. They have sat back and read the newspaper, or looked at news websites and rationed things through in their mind. It's not a biblical position. They haven't come to that conclusion through the Scriptures. They've come to that conclusion through some other basis of knowledge. And they have erected that way of thinking in their mind, and it impedes them from accepting the gospel. So what do we got to do? We have to tear it down. Once that fortress, once that stronghold has presented itself, we have to begin talking with them about the character of God. God is not the author of sin. God never wanted that sin take place. He didn't create it. He's not the one that committed it. And we are given a free will. Recognize that if we do not have the opportunity to disobey, then what is obedience? There is no obedience without the opportunity of disobedience. God created us, and it's this decision that makes us higher than the animals and the rest of God's creation. So God gave us this capability, but He's not the one who has messed up. Man has messed up. And God could intercede in any way that He wanted to, but because of His love for us and because of the elevated nature that He has accorded to us, He is allowing these things to run their course for His honor and glory and for our benefit. And it should not keep you from accepting Christ. Maybe you spoke with a Christian in the past, and they have mentioned to you a decision that they're considering, and you can sort of sense they may not be going in the right direction. And lovingly and kindly, you've mentioned some things for them. Well, you remember what we read in Proverbs, or you remember what we read in the epistles about this, and you're trying to lovingly encourage them back into an appropriate way of thinking, and they've listened to you, and you can sort of sense an edginess coming on there, and eventually they say, "Well, I know what the Bible says about those things, but..." What are we going to get now? We're going to get a rationalization, a justification even, as to why this person can now do what is contrary to Scriptures without actually being wrong themselves. And what do we have to do? We've got to tear that down. We have to bring them back to an appropriate understanding of the Scriptures so that their way of thinking is correct. A stronghold is something that is erected in the mind of someone whose basis is not the Scriptures. It is human logic, human reasoning. That is its foundation. It is on that stronghold is constructed. It is contrary to biblical principle, and it is keeping that person from accepting from the Bible what they do need to accept from the Bible. And that's what Paul is explaining here, and these things have to be torn down. Now, we recognize tearing down these strongholds is not always an easy thing to do. And as well, keeping these strongholds from developing in our own minds is not, as well, an easy thing to do. So, as we look at what Paul has written here and we determine what kind of application do we need to make today, let's recognize together that in order to avoid developing strongholds in our own way of thinking, there are two things that we must do. We must prepare our minds, and we must control our minds. Now, let's review a little bit again what we have by way of the Scriptures, because again, this is extremely important. I have learned in the Ivory Coast that it is not effectual for me to refute elements of the charismatic movement. It is not effectual for me to refute elements of Pentecostalism until I have successfully convinced my members that the Bible is absolutely all that they need for life and godliness. That if they could find themselves before the throne of God that very day, at this moment in time, God would say nothing more to them or nothing less to them, than what He has already said in His written Word. That from His perspective, what we have in the Scriptures is absolutely everything He wanted to give. And that the role of the Holy Spirit is not to somehow go around the Bible to deliver some kind of information, but to use the Bible to give some kind of information to the believer. So we must prepare our minds. The Bible is the complete revelation of God. All truth that God wants us to understand is in fact found in the Scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:16. And the Bible is correctly understood when the spiritual man reasons from what he has studied from the Scriptures with his mind guided by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. This is why we are commanded to renew our minds. It's why we are commanded to control our minds, our rationality, our understanding, our thinking by the Word of God. And scriptural truth is understood through the study of the words of Scripture reasoned in our minds, which are illuminated by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is not a book filled with secret meanings that can only be understood through mystical experiences. It is a clear and literal book that plainly explains to us what God is expecting. So we must prepare our minds through the Scriptures. That is paramount. It's funny today, you know, you hear people say, well, you know, I'm not influenced by things. I'm an independent thinker. That's ridiculous. There's only one independent thinker in the universe. Everybody thinks according to their base of knowledge. So when somebody looks at us and they say, oh, you Bible tempers, man, you guys have been brainwashed. You don't know how to think. You can't think for yourselves. That's absolutely untrue. We are thinking for ourselves. It's just that we've determined what the basis of our thinking is going to be. It's the Scriptures. They have determined that the basis of their thinking is wherever they're drawing their information from. But only an omniscient being can be an independent thinker. As such, we must determine, I want the Scriptures to be the basis of all my thinking. And I will prepare my mind in using the Scriptures. The second point, again, being the control of our mind. And Peter is in absolute agreement with this, as we would expect. As Peter wrote in his first epistle, he put it a little bit differently, making the exact same point in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Now, maybe for us in 2019, that seems a little unusual. I don't think I've told anyone recently to gird up their loins. But just recognize that in that day, men wore robes. And from time to time, we wore robes in Ivory Coast, certain occasions. I don't much care for it, but we do it. But I can assure you, you got one of those things on, and suddenly you have to do something, like maybe fold up chairs or do this or do that. Man, is that thing in your way. So if you're going to do work while you have one of those on, you're going to have to secure that thing around your waist so that it is not in the way of the work that you're trying to do. Thus the expression, gird up your loins. That's all that they're saying. Maybe today we'd say tighten the belt. But the idea that's there is that exercise is being controlled. That's the idea that's there. And the reality is, for most of us as Christians, our mind is the most uncontrolled aspect of our life. As a matter of fact, we don't necessarily even use it as God intends. I'm sure you've picked up on this. I'm sure you're recognizing this. But we're currently living in a world that no longer has any emphasis whatsoever on the mind, on thinking, on rationality, on reasoning. Our entire society is now built around feeling and sentiment. Recognize with me that every time you hear somebody say, "I don't think it's fair that," you are not dealing with logic and intelligence. You are now into the realm of thinking and sentiment and emotion. We are according legal standing today based on how somebody says they feel. Extraordinarily problematic. And so in today's world, it is the emotion, it is the sentiment, it is feelings that are the driving force, and that affects an individual's thinking. And so now his thinking is perverted or corrupted by his emotions and his sentiments, and that thinking then affects his actions. And so in the end, it's the actions that are the result. Actually, in the biblical model, we start with the mind. We start with the thinking. Yes, I might be upset that somebody offended me. Yes, I might have a problem with what was done a certain way, but I'm going to control my mind, and I'm going to renew it in the Scriptures so that I understand exactly what God expects of me in this circumstance. And it is with this renewed mind that my actions are now determined, so that they are godly actions. And when we use the renewed mind producing godly reactions, we can expect that we will have good sentiments and good emotions and good feelings, having been obedient to the Scriptures. But the control must be exercised. So we avoid the development of strongholds in our thinking by preparing our minds scripturally to have the right basis for our thoughts, and by controlling our minds as we go through the day. You'll remember there at the end of verse 5, the Apostle Paul said, "In bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That's a military image there. One of a soldier who is guarding the entrance to a room. And if somebody comes requesting entrance to the room, he has to justify that to the soldier. And if the soldier believes, yes, he does have right to that room, then the soldier steps out of the way and he grants entrance into the room. But if the soldier has come to the determination that, no, he has no right to this room, then the spear comes down and the individual is encouraged to leave. That is the image that the Apostle Paul gives us in speaking of the way that we must control our mind. We don't have the right to think any thought that enters therein. But we are to analyze and to critique what is transpiring in our minds to ensure that we are, in fact, controlling them. Now, I'm a missionary, you know that, and so you know I'm always going to have a missions application. So let's think about this. Do we have any strongholds in our thinking in relation to missions? If your child were to come to you and say, "Mommy, Daddy, I think God's calling me to Africa," how are you reacting? I hope so. My mother did, praise the Lord, bless her heart. And others have as well. But I'm a parent too. A few years back, my daughter was in college. Said, "Daddy, I heard about a mission trip to Thailand. I want to go on that mission trip to Thailand." I said, "Honey, you're not going anywhere until I talk to the people on the ground in Thailand. I mean, the ones that are taking care of you. I'm talking to them before you're going over there." And then all of a sudden, I realized, "You're such a jerk, Bob. You grew up, you reared her in Africa, and you got a tough time with her going to Thailand." We can develop some strongholds in our thinking on that. "I love missionaries and we're glad they're going out. Mine are going to stay home." Or we can develop some strongholds in our thinking by way of evangelism. "Well, I'm just telling you, boy, giving the gospel to people is just tough. I'm just really thinking that it's more important that they see the gospel in my life than if I actually express the gospel to them in my speaking." Ah, that's a stronghold. Because how shall they know unless they hear? Not see, unless they hear. Strongholds in our mind by way of prayer. "Boy, I've been praying for something for a long time and I'm just not getting any answers to those prayers. I just don't think God's listening." "Oh, really? Contrary to what He has said? You may not be getting the answer that you would particularly like to have,
But he has absolutely answered that prayer. Even in giving. I say, well, Brother Mack, well, that's easy for you. You're on the receiving end. Yes, as a missionary, I do receive support. But yes, I am also a member of an independent Baptist church that has a financial program to support missionaries, and it is absolutely my responsibility to be involved in that program. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to have a negative effect on my church's missions program. So they can give me whatever they want to give me, but they're going to get it back and more because I want to be a plus in my church's missions program financially, not a negative. But it is amazing the strongholds that get constructed in people's minds when it comes to finances and giving. So we see what the Apostle Paul said here. There was a problem there in the church, and what provoked the problem was the fact that people developed a certain rationality, a certain way of thinking, and Paul said, no, we got to tear that down because it has led you to the wrong and the unbiblical conclusion. But we know as well in our lives we have the same tendency, and we see this tendency in others. And yes, it is good when we have the biblical skill to be able to tear down somebody else's stronghold, but it is also necessary that we prevent their construction within our own minds. And we do that by preparing our minds in the Scripture so that the Scriptures are, in fact, the basis of our thinking. And we do that by exercising the control necessary so that that construction process can never really get off the ground. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we love this evening and we thank You for the Faith Baptist Church. Lord, again, since 2005, never a doubt in my mind that this church is behind the ministry in the Ivory Coast of West Africa. We have received correspondence. We have faithfully seen this church's name on our support sheet. And Lord, we know that the people of this church are very serious about what they're saying and what they're doing. And when they committed to supporting the work in the Ivory Coast, that was a firm commitment to which they have been entirely faithful. And Father, we thank You for this, and we thank You for them. Lord, it is such a blessing to come back now this evening and to share with the good people here exactly what their efforts have done in the Ivory Coast of West Africa. The salvation of souls. The changed lives. The men who give themselves to the ministry, Father. Amazing that in such an animist society, things still can happen. We're so thankful for the Faith Baptist Church. And Lord, thank You for Your Scriptures and Your Word and what we've seen in these verses this evening. But Lord, we're so corrupt. Still working in this flesh. Father, we yearn for eternity when we will not have this anchor pulling us down. But it is where we are. And if we are not careful, Father, we can so easily develop certain reasonings and logic and rationality for things that are entirely contrary to Your Word. Lord, work in our hearts. Help us to prepare our minds continually. Help us to exercise control. And Father, we do pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior. Pastor Angel, if you come.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder tonight if the underlying need, prepare our minds, control our minds, it all begins, folks, with the knowledge of Scripture. It's the Word of God. And there is some personal volition that's involved. You've got to exercise your own will. But if you're not feeding, if you're not constantly in the entrance of God's Word into your mind, it's impossible to prepare your mind and control your mind scripturally. I've been reading a book, just finished it last night, called Not I, But Christ. And the man gave a study on Galatians 2:20. When he came to the end of the book, he just emphasized how important it is for God's people to spend time in the Scripture. That's the basis for this message tonight. How are you going to prepare your mind, control your mind of biblical principle if you don't take time for the Word of God? I wonder if tonight if the Spirit of God spoke to your heart. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us just a moment or two of an invitation hymn. I know it's Wednesday night. Sometimes we don't give a long invitation. We won't give a long one tonight, but believe God spoke to hearts. Simple but clear Bible lesson message based on Scripture. Maybe the commitment tonight needs to be to the Bible. And the Spirit of God works through the Bible, works through the Word of God. Helps us to prepare our minds, control our minds, to prevent those strongholds. And you know He's truth. You know that's true. What He said tonight about the strongholds is true. Outstanding help. Thoroughly enjoyed that tonight. Brother Mac comes, I always ask him to preach. He always does a great job. It just, his preaching challenges me. And I hope that this man, this book I was reading, he just made the point at the very end of the book that, look, if you're not in your Bible as a child of God, you're going nowhere. You're just not. You got to get in it. And you got to put it in. Put it, the entrance of thy words giveth light. To prepare your mind, to control your mind, there's got to be a basis of scriptural knowledge for the Spirit of God to work with. And you can't get away from it. Thank you, Brother Mac. Great message tonight and a truthful message on this matter of strongholds.